This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And that is so true.
Well, yeah, we're definitely off today, but we've got a guest here today who's definitely not off. We have from NASA Langley. How's that for a segue?
That sounds so impressive, NASA Langley.
I'll tell you what, we got lucky on that one. We have Jeff Veakin here, and he's been working, along with a lot of other people, on the NASA X-57.
Okay, now... You're talking about a 500% increase in high-speed cruise flight of a propeller-driven airplane.
That's correct.
So what do you define as high-speed cruise flight? What speed range?
The design speed for the airplane is 150 knots. The whole goal of the experiment was to show that we could get the better cruise efficiency on an compared to existing baseline airplane. So the best trade-offs worked out to be to take a Technum P2006T, and so we baselined that performance and tried to get the higher efficiency from that baseline performance.
Okay, now is this strictly through improvements in propulsion efficiency?
No, there's double improvements. There's about a 20% predicted efficiency improvement in just aerodynamics, and that's quite a technical achievement. I think a lot of people think that, and the rest of it is the electronic system due to the higher motor efficiency, but I think the X-57 is much more than just electrifying an airplane. We're reducing the wing area to 42% of the original airplane wing area, but still projecting that we can achieve the same stall speed with that 42% reduction in wing area.
Oh, that's okay, through augmentation of the high-lift motors.
Through augmentation of the high-lift motors, and that reduced wing area brings its own set of challenges with the structure, aeroelasticity, even the aerodynamics. You don't scale one for one with the aerodynamics, so you have aerodynamic challenges with that smaller wing that you didn't have with the original wing.
Okay, so now you got to be really paying attention to
airflows. Yeah, so I mean, it is really an integrated. The X-57, really the goal was to leverage electric propulsion technology to design an airplane that was optimized for cruise efficiency. Most GA airplanes have to have a much bigger wing than they need for cruise to be able to land at safe speeds. But at cruise, the wing is too big and it's just creating extra drag. So our goal was to try and find a way to reduce the wing drag but still achieve the stall speed performance.
Okay, so instead of like, give me 10 degrees of flaps, you're going to say, give me a 20% lift motors.
Yeah, it's an interesting flight regime now because we have a third regime. You have your cruise environment and cruise speed regime, then you put down your flaps and you can stall at a slower speed, but you have to turn on the high speed lift for the distributed electric propulsion to get to your stall speed.
Now, you've got so many motors. Are you bringing them on sequentially? Are you varying speed of each one?
That's another interesting aspect. When you first look at it, it looks like electric propulsion technology is great. Let's just put propellers all over the airplane. But each set of propellers has its unique function on the airplane. The cruise propellers that provide only the cruise thrust, so the distributed propellers will be turned off on cruise. But the cruise thrust propellers are put on the wingtip to reduce the wingtip vortex. One of the challenges that I talked about was that with the smaller wing, now we have higher induced drag, and we have to counter that induced drag penalty. And then the high lift motors, the ones that are distributed across the wing, are only turned on for low speed flight to essentially create higher speed over the wing to make the wing think it's flying faster than the airplane so you can land safely.
Wow.
Well, you know, another factor here that affects the performance of the aircraft is weight. How does this electric system compare weight-wise?
Well, it is interesting. You know, it's not a production-optimized electric system, and we are trying to prove the benefits of the electric efficiency, but definitely battery technology doesn't have the energy density of fuel.
Right.
So it looks like on the original, compared to the original Technum, we pay about 1,100 pounds in the propulsion system with the batteries versus about 650 pounds on the original Technum. And so along with that, of course, with the lower energy density, we won't have the ranges, but we can prove that we can get the cruise efficiency, and then we can hope for battery technology will come along and increase our range with that aspect of it.
Battery technology has come a long way. I'm sure there's stuff on the drawing board right now that's going to make this very practical.
Well, we hope so.
Are you guys looking, you know, your main goal right now is cruise efficiency and all that, but I'm still thinking low speed regime, because when you start slowing down, you're going to start losing control authority, especially on the rudder. Are you thinking of using, you know, adding the ability to have differential thrust to help stabilize the aircraft?
The X15 is a technology demonstrator, and we pick the fruit that we can attack right now. Unless we prove the efficiency of it, nobody's going to go towards the configuration.
Right.
So there's several operational things that we decided that we're not going to attack in this whole integrated process, and one of them is the control with differential power. Fortunately, the whole concept evolved in flying at Armstrong, where we had the lake bed. So if we have some differential thrust, we're just going to pull back the power and glide in for this aspect. And then if we can prove all these efficiency advances, then we'll work on those other aspects of it.
Okay, no, that begs the question, how far along are you? You've modified the aircraft and are flying it currently?
Well, the airplane is modified in steps. Much of the literature, you'll see a Mod 1, Mod 2, Mod 3, Mod 4. The Mod 1 was sort of baseline the performance and do a ground test. Now, the Mod 2 is just putting on the electric system on the original Technum, where the original engines are, and then bring out the electrical system and troubleshoot that. Right now, we're going to start that flight test for Mod 2 in the next year. For the Mod 3, that's actually building the new smaller wing out of all composites with the nacelles on it. And that wing is currently under fabrication in San Luis Obispo in California with Experimental LLC. It's close to finishing. They'll build the final spar in August and hopefully deliver the new wing to Armstrong in September or October for proof load testing. Okay. And then when the flight tests for the Mod 2 are done, we'll integrate the wing onto the airplane and then integrate the motors on the wingtips and then fly that without the high lift system, looking at that we're just going to document the cruise performance. And then we'll finish the development of the high lift motors and put those on and fly that as a sequential thing.
Okay, so you're still working on motor technology, too. You're waiting for the latest and greatest.
Yeah. The wingtip motors are completely new technology. We're still looking out in the open market to see if there's a commercial vendor that can provide the specs for the high lift motors versus building one, but we're still going through that right now.
Now, most electric RC models we're familiar with, and even some of the large scales, they're all direct drive. Are you looking at a geared drive so you can run higher efficient motor smaller?
No, we're looking at direct drive. I guess I don't know what all. I mean, part of the trade-offs, it's another failure mode, and part of it is. But right now, it seems like the motors that we can use can be direct drive and still meet our requirements.
Okay.
The high lift motors are going to cruise about 4,500 RPM. The lower diameters, they can get the higher speeds on it. And the cruise motors, about 2,200, 2,250 for cruise. Okay.
And I'm assuming these are all going to be custom-made propellers as well.
No, the wingtip cruise propellers, the initial goal was, but it was another technology thing, another thing to develop. We're using a Hartzell MTV prop for the cruise propellers. The high-lift propellers are being developed because there's a different philosophy with the high-lift propellers. They aren't designed for the optimization of efficiency. They're designed for the optimization of trying to speed up the air behind them.
Right, thrust.
So they're not very efficient. So they have a weird or a unique thrust distribution to develop that high lift. So they will be uniquely developed, and they also have to be developed with the goal that they will fold in at cruise and not create extra drag, so that there has to be a folding mechanism designed in with them as well.
Now, that's a lot of technology.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think that we're just putting an electric motor in the airplane with a battery, but we're integrating the concept. There's a lot of technological advances that we're trying to integrate into one configuration.
There's a lot of pushing that has to be done yet.
Are the batteries on this going to be permanently installed, or can you remove them in modules for recharging?
There's 16 different battery modules. They can be removed. Hopefully we won't have to, but they can be removed. It's not easy because they're heavy, and we have to put them in through the cargo door or the passenger door in the back seat.
Well, that was one of the things that I was wondering about. There are a lot of precautions that have to be taken when you're recharging batteries. I didn't know if it would be practical to recharge the aircraft or outside.
I think we've had to go through some qualifications and reducing of some regulations to actually charge them in the airplane, but I think that's the optimal one. It's not just like a flashlight that you could take out real quick. It's a big procedure to take the batteries out. So they will charge them. They are going to develop a cooling package to try and stabilize the temperatures there, and they're going to slow charge them. So there's a lot of precautions that are being taken there.
And right now you're just using off-the-shelf lithium ions?
Yeah. Yeah, they're a Samsung cell. It's 3.6 volts per cell. It's about the size of a AA, and then okay, they're so just
yeah, they're 18,
thousands
650s,
of them. Yeah,
right.
18650s, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful part about those batteries is they're so small, you can make custom packs that'll fit just about anywhere
and,
in
and
the
they,
airplane.
They did. They did. They custom made the packs to fit the specs for the amperage and the power that we needed for the motors.
And there's a lot of battery balancing electronics.
Also,
and all
I mean,
that
another
stuff
thing
that's
just not an insignificant thing is we've made a two buses for the motors. So it's kind of a redundant system that if one bus, one battery set fails, we should have 50% power. So we shouldn't be completely without power.
And one of the things that you want to do with that is you want to make sure you're feeding power to both sides of the airplane so you don't have asymmetrical thrust.
Yep, exactly. Both A and B buses go to both sides of the airplane. And they go alternately to the electric motors, so we would lose three electric motors per side if we actually lost the thrust.
That would still be enough to land safely, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, it still can land safely, power off. It'd just be faster.
Right.
I mean, and
we'll be
over the lake bed now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're not going to drag it into your backyard strip.
Hopefully, with the power, that's the goal. I mean, to have equivalent performance, but no, without the high lift power and the smaller wing, you're not going to drag it into your backyard strip.
Where can we find out? Are you guys on the field?
We're in the NASA booth.
Okay, so go on, wander on down there,
yep.
Which is kind of heading north up towards the Warbird area, I believe, unless you guys have moved.
Yep. Aviation Gateway.
Aviation Gateway Park.
Okay. They got names for everything now.
They do. It's a shame we don't know where they are.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.
And thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.